Welcome to the Thought Leaders Podcast. We discuss what's trending in the online sphere. From podcast ad tech to the explosion of gaming, we sit down with experts in the field who share their experiences, successes, setbacks, and tips for anyone who wants to understand more about the world of digital content. Here's your host, Thought Leaders founder and CEO, David Tintner.
All right. We are here today with James Davidson of Twitch. James, how's it going?
It's going great, David. Nice to chat with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot for joining us. James is an influencer relations manager at Twitch. James, what does that mean? What is your job exactly?
So essentially at Twitch, I wear two hats, right? I work in a, what I call pre-sale type of world where we're helping sellers educate clients, you know, brand partners on what Twitch is about and how the influencer space operates and what our talent is like. Everything from like the basic questions all the way into like demographic information and what type of content is this and how do we understand it better? So that's the one hat in the kind of pre-sale world with the brand, and then the post-sale world, which is, hey, we've gone and talked to a brand about you, Mr. or Mrs. Influencer, and they'd like to work with you. So how do we get to that point? And obviously that world is both, you know, direct to talent and talking to really awesome and cool people, agencies and managers and folks like that that are helping these folks get this part of the job done.
Very cool. So can you break that down for us? There's kind of this web of, I guess, the talent managers and you mentioned agencies and agents, and there's also you, the influencer relations manager at the platform directly. How is everyone working together in order to get, at the end of the day, a creator, an influencer is producing some content, maybe branded, that's the output, but there's a lot of people working behind the scenes until that finally gets done. Who's doing what?
Yeah, so look, I guess, again, you could break it down to two different situations. One is direct to influencer, and it's just me and you, David, and you know, you got a channel, you're doing something, you're making content, and I'm working with you. And sometimes you bring in a lawyer to look at a contract, and we work with the lawyer and make sure everything is kosher, and off we go. That's the simple transaction, right? More and more so, and frankly, probably continuing into the future, we're working with groups, right? With agencies and managers and all types of different folks that are out there. And essentially, I would say in the most complex situation, there's obviously folks that are incredibly busy and have a large business and lots of different cooks in the kitchen, if you will, and likely we'll get a manager first on the other end of an outreach. We'll work with that manager to kind of iron out the details because essentially the manager is the right or, you know, left hand of the influencer. You know, for all intents and purposes, like they're an analog for the influencer's brain, because especially in my space, in the space that I work in, that is not in my space, the website, but in the space that I work in, folks are live, right? Like this isn't like in a YouTube space where like, oh, you can kind of like stop what you're doing and answer an email. You can't do that in the Twitch world, right? These folks are live 8 to 12 hours a day in some cases, and they don't have time to take a phone call. They don't have time to read a brief. They don't have time to do any of these things. So a manager is very important in the Twitch space in that regard. They need backup. They need support. They need someone in their corner, because even if they are able to read an email, they're going to probably read it pretty quick because they got other stuff to do. And then they want to spend time with their family or, you know, live their social life outside of streaming. So manager usually first one in, agent usually involved in more complex deals. So an agency has multiple divisions to it. And benefit of an agency is those expertise can be relied upon in a complex situation. So if we're asking talent to shoot a commercial or make an appearance, or we need rights to their likeness, and it's going to be in a bunch of different places in a variety of mediums, you're going to want someone that can speak, you know, all those different languages, that can use their expertise at the drop of a hat, essentially. And that's what an agent's for. And then more and more so, agencies fill the gap between all of these things. They offer a variety of services, whereas management teams are usually just smaller, you know, direct relationship with talent in their corner, fighting that fight with them, just in a smaller arena. So, and sometimes PR is involved, sometimes, you know, all types of other people, but every situation is different.
There's a giant world going on behind the scenes in order to get this awesome content produced. You mentioned that more and more you're working with groups or agencies. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I think that the space is maturing. You know, the digital space, as it is called presently, you know, in my opinion, I think the digital is a bit of a limited term for what this is at present. I think that in the future, that will balloon into other arenas and start to absorb other mediums. But, you know, at present, where we are in, you know, 2021, the space is just maturing rapidly. You know, I think I saw a stat and it was 31%. Influencer marketing grew 33% in 2021. So that's a huge jump for any industry, let alone influencer marketing as just its own little thing. And I think, you know, the numbers on Twitch probably reflect that in spades as well. Like we saw a huge jump in both viewership and investment and spend and all those things. So I think that's why, you know, the support groups to this industry are starting to mature. And it's not even that they're maturing. It's that they're starting to get involved and see the benefit of this industry and see that it's now a powerful machine, you know, in my opinion.
It means, I guess, it's maturing and becoming more similar from a business standpoint to television or traditional media. And that's, yep. And those agencies and groups were there. So now there's enough money in the digital realm and they're coming into that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's also valuable in another way that like television and movies can't be, in that you can experiment here. The investment you need to make in order to make content here is relatively low compared to other forms. And if the content does well, you have very clear, defined, easily obtainable metrics on your success. You can see, look at the plays in this video, look at the plays across all of these different platforms. Let's test it somewhere so that we're not overexposing it if we want to distribute it elsewhere. There's opportunities to take digital content and sell it to other platforms, like a, you know, a Netflix or a Hulu or even classic television if it does well enough. There's the ability for people to find it for free. It's not gated in most places, in most situations, obviously. So there, it's a lot more flexible than some of the other competing mediums, the televisions, the streaming services, the movie houses. And because of that, it's a feeder, in my opinion, and it will continue to be a feeder for lots of these places. You know, we started to see influencer-led movies where influencers, like FaZe Clan, I think like a year ago, did a movie where literally a classic medium-type film director came over and did just a very easy to shoot film with these guys. And I think it was considered a pretty big success on FaZe Clan's end. So I think that formula is easy to understand and accessible for lots of folks that aren't playing in this space. And, you know, in my role, we're very brand focused and we're starting to see that kind of buy-in, that belief and brands really understanding the space really well. And actually some of these movie houses were pretty early to this. You know, Warner Brothers has been a longtime partner of ours and has been investing in the space for a long time. And they really understood the value of it. And I think it'll be interesting, you know, as the 2020s go on, if you will, to see kind of what they do with it and all these other guys do with it. So lots of reasons, I think, for the turn, the 33% growth, and lots of reasons for the growth of digital. But, you know, one of the big ones is it's a really great proving ground, in my opinion.
So on that point, so who else, you mentioned a couple of the names, but who else is really doing testing where they're going first to Twitch or digital, even if it's not just on Twitch, and then they're creating content there and with the mindset that this thing works, we're going to turn it into a movie or what else that's bigger and more expensive that they want to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, so first off, it's the influencers. It's people that are
the influencers themselves are the ones.
Absolutely,
their mind is already set on, I'm going to create this new series on YouTube, or I'm going to do this type of stream, and my goal already from the beginning is not just to have a successful channel. It's going to be, I want to make a movie out of this.
Yep. When I think about folks on our platform, you know, what's the old bell curve, right? The adopting bell curve. So you have your early adopters, your mid and your late term adopters. And when brand, you know, speaking from my experience, like when brands are looking, they're constantly trying to engage these three portions, right? What we have on Twitch are early adopters, almost mm-hmm. almost universally. We have folks that saw the benefit of live video 10 years ago that have grown their presence here. We have folks that were, you know, very successful in the VOD space and then saw the benefit of it, how Twitch could you know, kind of be a feeder for their VOD platform. So we have folks here that are early adopters, and more so we have these really unique, interesting individuals that come to us, both are the brand team, that's my team, and as well as the partnership side of the organization, mostly, honestly. And they go to them and they're like, look, we want to do this really big idea. We want to make this really unique form of content. We have a guy named Jerma 985 on our platform, and he was really big in the VOD space. And then he saw how amazing live content could be. And he did this thing where chat was able to control different elements of a carnival and like go through a carnival space with him and play games. And people like that are you know, if this was the 1920s, they'd probably be these big film directors. They'd probably be the Nikola Teslas of the world, if you will. And now he's live on Twitch doing unique things, creating unique content. And what our team is trying to do is bring a brand partner into that to fund it, to, so that, you know, it's one of those things where it can pay for itself. It won't have to come out of Mr. Jeremy's pocket. In my opinion, it's led by creators, and it's fed in turn by, you know, early adopting brand partners that are really excited to work with these people, because that's the formula that we're trying to make work here at Twitch on our end in the ad sales team.
That's awesome. How are you pitching that to a brand, and at what stage is a brand coming into a project? Like, if I understood correctly, creator comes to you and says, I got this crazy idea for an interactive carnival. We're going to do stuff in chat, and this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. And then you're saying, let me get a brand to fund this.
I'm actually glad you asked that question. That's a great question. So about a year ago, my team, like I said, we work with brands, and we educate them on how to work with talent on our platform. And honestly, not even just our service, just the space at large, digital at large, gaming at large, live streaming at large. More and more so, we're developing an equally strong Just Chatting or IRL brand as we are developing our gaming bread and butter. So educating them in the whole pastiche of it all. And then we try to basically merge those two worlds. That's the simplest way to describe it. In doing so, I guess it was probably about a year and a half ago, some really great teammates of mine, you know, joined the company and brought along a really unique set of expertise in original content. You know, I would say beforehand, we were more reactive. And, you know, over the last year and a half, we've become a very proactive group. And in doing so, we're soliciting our user base, the influencers on our platform, and developing content with them, or at least soliciting ideas and then developing that content and trying to attach brands to it. So we actually have an incubator program that does exactly this in tandem with our partnership colleagues on that side of the company. You know, the ad sales business is working with them to do this. So to simplify it, it probably happens three ways. One is like talent's like, here's the idea, I'm going to do it with or without you. Can you find me a sponsor? That's just ad sales, us going out trying to find the right person. We have a really, really, really large sales team that is incredibly good at what they do. And we were probably underutilizing them in their skills. And now we're just giving them more ammunition to take out into the space at large and shoot their shot and try to make things happen. So that's kind of bucket one is, hey, this show's done, go sell it. Okay. Bucket two is, you know, they come to the partnership side of the organization, and those individuals are big thinkers, right? Like, they know how to make stuff happen within the organization that we might not know how to do. And they are plussing up those activations. They're saying like, yeah, oh, by the way, we have a skate park that wanted to do something with us, and you wanted to do something with skating. Let's get together. Let's make this idea. You know, you have part, they have part. Boom. Okay. That's bucket two. That usually requires a little more time. So we're getting those ideas probably midway through that process. And then we're giving ourselves more runway to get that sold. And then bucket three is what we call built it bought. So it's an idea. It's just exists on paper. Talent was like, this, you know, might be great for brands, probably more so than like, I know how to make this on my own. And we take that out to the marketplace and we say, hey, who wants to help make this show? Who wants to produce this show with us? That's more of like a longer term runway type thing. Usually requires like a brand getting involved and being passionate about that idea, and then being more comfortable waiting for it to come to fruition. So those are the kind of the three ways. And if you are a Twitch influencer and listening to this, please go out and find one of us and talk to us about what you want to do, because that's the way that we're really bringing those ideas to life is talent-led ideas out in the space, relying on us finding the next Steven Spielberg of Twitch. You know, like that's what we're doing. Long answer, but exciting.
So how does it, you know, Twitch influencer really get in touch with actually Twitch staff? And how much of the, let's say like the big creators on Twitch are actually working closely with Twitch staff? Because I don't know, in my head, I kind of have this pictured as like, this is a totally self-service platform, user-generated content, you know, it's all robots and nobody is actually like pulling the strings behind the scenes. And I get the feeling that actually, no, a lot of this is let's say like manual work to some point.
Mm-hmm. Let me think about the best way to answer this. Look, there's lots of ways to get in touch with us. There are we have our own influencers that are Twitch staff, right? Like people that everyone has come to know and love. You know, she's leaving the organization at this point, but Aurelian, a gal named Erin Wayne, has been with our company for 8 years and quite a public presence. And, you know, I don't know that it's easy to reach out to her, for example, but we have people that are out and about in the space speaking, talking, myself included, trying to evangelize what we do and help people understand it better. And it's like with anything, right? Like, can you go into your favorite chat and get in touch with Tim the Tapman? Yeah, sometimes. Like, sometimes Tim will answer your little chat message. But like other times it's just not going to make it through. And unfortunately, like that's just the nature of trying to drink from a fire hose, if you will. So aside from that, we have obviously like our help portal. Partners that are at a certain point or have different folks involved, they have folks assigned to them to help support their business because of the nature of, I would say, the volume of information they're bringing into the company. And then also, like, if you have a manager or you have an agent, like our team and especially the partnerships organization as well, great bunch of people and a much larger team, by the way, the partnership side of the business. We're in touch with all of these managers, all, you know, every agent under the sun, all the big three letters, all the way down to new management groups that pop up and that are bringing value into the space. And anyone that's a good actor, we are, you know, usually in touch with. That's just another way. So just like with anything, it's creative, right? Like if you have a really great idea, a really great show, we're probably going to have a harder time building it with you if there's not an audience to build it for. But if you are a large creator with an audience already pre-built, like we're probably going to want to build that with you. But if you have something, I would say, and you're, you know, a smaller creator, but you think you have a great idea, you're probably going to want to, just like with anything, just like with a job, just like with a, you know, a company, with anything, you're going to want to build it and sell it to us. You know, you're going to want to do the legwork first. And we have had, you know, those types of conversations with smaller creators as well. So it's just one of those things where be you, be creative, find a way to break through the noise. That's the best way I could probably describe it.
Who does Twitch view as their competition in terms of other platforms or other outlets for creators?
So I would say that we try to see ourselves as part of a flywheel or an ecosystem, and we play our small part in that. But, you know, as everyone knows, like Mixer was a competitor of ours, you know, while they were around. And, you know, in the future, I think there will be brands that pop up that are. And YouTube Live, obviously, is a competitor of ours. And, you know, talent have gone back and forth between the two platforms. Facebook Gaming, you know, I think FB.GG is they go by. I think DLive is even a service that's out there now. Look, like there's all types of people jumping in the space, like what's called Green Room over at Spotify, and Clubhouse, even to a certain extent, compete for
eyes. But there's got to be, like, give us, you know, the inside. What, there's got to be someone that, you know, internally, you guys are like, this is, you know...
It's gonna be YouTube. I mean, look, like YouTube has a volume in business and eyes and viewership and data flowing through their platform that is unrivaled in terms of any other digital service. Maybe TikTok. I don't really know TikTok's what their numbers are really like. But like, there's an amount of eyes on YouTube that is not really comparable to any competitor in the space. Like they're the 600-pound gorilla. But the fact of the matter is, it's like, I think what happens in business is you do. There's very few organizations that do a few things well. Like, it's not like, for example, Apple has multiple things that they do at an expert level that are no one else is really competing with, right? Like, for them, it was like iPods and the distribution of MP3s. Like, no one competed at a quality level with them. And, you know, all my opinion, obviously. Their computers, as I said to you and talked to you on an Apple computer, are a different type of quality. Not that I don't also own multiple PCs that I play games on, but just a different type of beast that they do well. Phones, obviously, you know, and they have competitors, but great quality phone. So it's rare that that's a thing, right? Like Twitch focuses on one thing and we do one thing well, which is live video and community building. And YouTube is a VOD company and they are developing their live video offering. And look, like it's more power to them, you know, if they pull it off. But Twitch just offers something substantially different, which is community development. And I think that we do that better than anybody else on the planet. And I think that creators have come out and said that, you know, we develop community. Stuff happens on Twitch. You know, culture happens on Twitch. And it's because of the fact that YouTube offers a different service that really is what people are coming to their website for. I think it's harder to draw attention to anything else.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, it's basically, I mean, YouTube just is this massive source of that's stealing people's attention, but where they're trying to compete, let's say directly with Twitch, is really on live, and on that, Twitch feels pretty confident in the position.
Yeah, because what differentiates us is the community here. It's actually not so much the people streaming, more so it's the people watching, right? Like, it's the folks that come here every day, well, come to the service every day and are tuning in and engaging with the creators and spending time with them and watching the original content that we offer, the Rivals, you know, Twitch Rivals, I think, is an offering that it is rarely bested out in the marketplace in terms of, you know, the quality of competition that it offers on a community level. Obviously, like, we're not, you know, LEC and LCS are world-class offerings that we'll never compete with, but like Rivals is a community tournament that is rarely bested in the marketplace, in my humble opinion. So it's one of those things where it's the engagement of the community around what we're doing. It's things like TwitchCon, which, you know, obviously we haven't had in a couple of years, but we'll definitely come back one day. That it's just hard to compete with that community development, in my opinion. It's all of the service aside is all secondary versus the community offering.
How do you measure that community or the success of your efforts towards building the community via the platform?
I mean, I think it's reflected obviously in viewership on the site. I suppose we have entire teams that would probably be able to answer that question better. We have community marketing teams and community development teams that spend all day thinking about that kind of stuff. My brain is pulled in a million different directions in my role, and part of it is the community development and helping brands understand the Rivals offering and TwitchCon and all the different meetups that we do for partners and things like that. So part of it speaks to that and understands that, but to speak at it at an expert level, I would not be able to do. But look, I think that if you are a viewer on Twitch and you're enjoying yourself, then we're doing our job.
What do you think is really different about Twitch because it stems from live streaming as opposed to another platform that isn't live?
What kind
of differences do you find in the community or in the types of creators or things that happen because of it being live?
Yeah, I can kind of almost... It's a little ambiguous of a question because like it's an idea, right? Like trying to describe an idea, but it's that something's happening. You can go on a website and something's happening there. Like you're not alone anymore. You go onto Twitch and like all of a sudden, like if you're, because you may know this and definitely listeners may know this, previous probably to Twitch's existence, like playing video games was a relatively lonely thing to do. Unless your brother was home or your friend came over, you're playing video games on your own, you know? And what Twitch did was like bring that experience out of the basement, I guess you could say. Like it brought it into like a large digital room where you're hanging out with everybody. If you don't want to be alone and play StarCraft for 8 hours because you love StarCraft, like you can do it with somebody, and not even somebody, lots of people, and you can develop relationships that can then exist in the real world. Both, hey, I'm gonna, you know, call these people, all call each other and hang out on Discord and talk, and then we meet up, you know, at least once a year, and we'd love to do it more at conventions. So to me, it's the fact that it was a previously lonesome thing that now is the anything but, right? Like, and then obviously with that came online services with video games and all that stuff, but Twitch kind of started with those things. So it's just something where you're part of something bigger. And I think that's what we're all looking for. And like I start my day, and I think I hear this even from a lot of when I'm actually interviewing people that join the company, they're just like, look, like Twitch isn't like a thing. It's like part of my day. Like I just jump on Twitch and I put on something and then I go to work doing whatever else I'm doing. I wish there was a number on like employees in America that also are live on Twitch while they do their job, because I think that's really like a big part of our culture. Is like, it's a way to stay connected with the world when you're just living your life. You know, there's a community for everybody on Twitch, whether it's leather work or gaming or
anything. But break that down for me. What does that mean exactly, that somebody's jumping on live on Twitch? I mean, they're not the ones streaming. They're they're watching streams and they're participating in chat. That's what you mean by, you know, I got a browser tab open, I got the app open, and I'm watching other people streaming, and I'm chatting or I'm reading the chat other people are messaging in.
Yep. So, you know, even when I'm writing emails, I'll have, you know, my favorite streamer open and I'll be listening. And like, if I hear some action coming up, or, you know, if they're doing whatever their thing is, like I'll swipe over and see what was going on and I'll engage. And if I jump in bed at the end of the day, I usually have something on and I'll watch more, you know, actively or intently. But it's both like, you know, the passive viewer and as well as the active viewer, in my opinion. And then on top of that, like, depending on what you want out of the platform that exists, right? So whether that's, if you're like super interested in like a very niche thing that doesn't necessarily have a easily engageable community, you can build that or find it on Twitch. Like a good example of that is like investing. Okay. Stock traders used to just sit at home and just trade stocks and maybe be on the phone with a buddy of theirs who's also trading stocks. But now we have people that sit in with streamers like the Stock Guy or Stock Jock, and they ask questions while they're trading, you know, and they'll be like, oh, what's everybody looking at today? Or how can I better understand an Ichimoku cloud or whatever the heck it is? And we have people that can speak to that. And those communities, we didn't build those, you know, the creators built those. They found this place and they did it themselves. And it's the organism at work, you know, it's this thing, it's consciousness existing on a, it's just, a, you know, we built it and they all showed up. It's the old Field of Dreams thing. Or whatever heck movie that's from. I think that's the real power of a platform like this, and that's really fed by people coming to the platform, by the viewer coming here and engaging and doing those things. Without that, we don't exist.
Feels like Twitch really provided this infrastructure for people to do live streaming and connect, but it's much, much more, let's say, social than what I would compare to YouTube to be, at least from the creator audience relationship.
Sure. Just the nature of it, right? Like you leave a YouTube comment, you either have to wait for someone to answer. You don't know if they're going to answer. You don't know if anybody else is watching with you. You have no clue, right? And it's no knock on it. It's just that's the nature of the experience there. That's the nature of what it is versus what is offered on a service like Twitch is fundamentally different, right? Like we're just like, hey, we're going to be here. If y'all want to join, then we're here. And kind of in doing so, it allowed the beast to grow, right? It allowed us to make rivals. Without the viewer, we would not have been able to do any of it. We would not have been able to have a TwitchCon. We would not have been able to have employees like we have. We would not be able to make original content for viewers to then watch. We would not have been able to build an integration between Amazon Prime Video and Twitch to be able to have a watch party, you know? And then all of the dreams that come with it down the line of like, hey, is there a way that sports can live on our platform one day? And all those different pie in the sky type things don't exist without viewers coming to the platform and liking what the offering was to begin with. So it's the power of the fact that we're entirely viewer driven. It's great to have lots of creators, but without viewers, the creators are only, they're alone. There is no interaction. So when we are fundamentally looking at what we're offering and when we're fundamentally looking at what we do, it's driven that way. It's built that way. It's built, can we make this better for the viewer? You know, and obviously we offer creator services and stuff, but that's a whole other team. You know, my team is viewer focused.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Twitch is, you know, primarily, I guess, still known for gaming, but you brought up, okay, you mentioned sports, you mentioned investing, just chatting. How much is Twitch really focusing on getting into new areas that are not gaming, and what's being done internally to push that direction, if at all? Or is it really just, if creators come, they come, and if not, oh well.
No, I mean, it definitely is creators showing up, right? Like, that's definitely first. And it's not, again, like I said, not even creators, viewers, right? So if we have like dozens and dozens of, well, first of all, if we have dozens of people streaming something and like there's no one watching, we're going to look to see why no one's watching. Like, we're going to try to figure it out. We might just have to surface it better. And that's an entire team, right? Like, surfacing of content, understanding what's happening on our platform, that there's a whole other animal led by incredible geniuses, not like me, like people that.
Wait,
really
what does that mean? Those service it better? Like, I'm picturing, you know, if someone's not watching a stream, it's because it's not interesting. You're saying that, no, that's not the case. Maybe there's something that Twitch internally needs to do to get people watching it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's diversification of ideas at its core, right? Like, just because, for example, I don't know this to be exactly true, but I'm sure people were streaming chess on our platform long before chess had its renaissance in, you know, like 2019-ish. I'm sure it was happening. And it's just that at the time, we weren't as mature of an organization to be able to look at all the data on our platform and surface stuff. But what you will see kind of bubble to the surface is we do have initiatives every month. Again, this isn't my team. This is a partnerships organization that understands these things far better. But we had like an August was art, I believe. So we put art creators onto the front page to help expose their communities. We had marketing initiatives around art. We invested in the art community. We talked to those creators. We tried to sell art initiatives, you know, because from an ad sales perspective, this is marketable, right? Like, it's something we could take to the market. So that the whole internal flywheel goes into effect. We had like a fitness month. We had a weightlifting month. We had a Black History month. We had a Asian American Pacific Islander initiative month.
So I'm just trying to understand exactly like what you can do to service a channel that's not getting views. I mean, you're pushing them more into Twitch homepage, or you're putting notifications out. You're basically shoving this channel or this stream to viewers because you've identified it as something that like is interesting, but not getting the viewership that the content itself warrants?
It's all of those things. And it's also, you know, partnerships organization going out into the community, you know, if you will, knocking on those doors, talking to those creators, helping understand their content more and what they want to do and how we can help. Sometimes it's as simple as saying like, how can we help? And ideas have come of that, like, you know, like, hey, we need a platform to be able to play this game on, or we need a way to be able to do this in Twitch Studio that allows us to do whatever the heck it is. You know, again, this isn't my team, so I'm a little bit of being a little creative here with what they could have brought up. But it's also that it's talking to those communities. It's setting time aside to go into those communities and talk to them and see what they need. And we obviously are going to have, again, not my team, but they're going to have, I'm sure, budgets set aside for different initiatives and different levers that they can pull that I don't even understand. So, and then also it's those teams then having those conversations, doing, in some cases, years, months worth of work to understand everything that's happening, and then coming to us and making it simple for the big silly ad sales organization to say, look, like, there's a really great opportunity here. It's underutilized. We're underservicing this part of our community. There's consumers there that brands can get in contact with. I know that, you know, they'll come to us and be like, I saw you worked with XYZ, like, would they want to work with this partner? And then it's as simple as me going to that brand and being like, we have a really great partner that could use your push, you know, because brands also bring eyes. Brands also have social, you know, equity behind their brands that they can then put into place behind individual creators. It's sponsoring those creators. So, because sometimes like the difference between a great creator blowing up and a great creator just like, you know, making a few bucks on the platform is like us helping them become a full-time creator. It's people getting involved and saying like, hey, you know, your content is so next level that we just need to sponsor you. We need to give you this, the time, essentially gift you the time to be able to do this better and more often. And we've literally seen that work. So I think it's the responsibility of a company that, especially with the resources that we have, to understand really well what's happening on your service, to be able to make it better. Like it's an ecosystem, right? Our creators get better, we get more viewers. We get more viewers, we get more brands. We get more brands, we make better content. We get better content, we get more viewers. You know, so the organization from top down has understood that very early on. Credit to Emmett Shear, shout out Emmett. But Emmett like understood this intrinsically from day one. He knew, he had a plan from day one, him and his team, you know, Kevin and all those guys. And they saw this day coming, and I'm sure that they also see things down the line that I'm too silly and stupid to understand, that they're also pointing us towards, you know? So it's just good people involved. Like, you know, Twitch will always, will get flamed in different communities and stuff like that. But it doesn't bother anybody here because we know we're acting, in everybody's best interest. And we know we're trying. And what people don't necessarily understand is like how much information and how much data we're trying to manage. And sometimes that gets lost in the sauce, you know, a little bit.
Is there a certain, I don't know, a criticism of Twitch that you hear, I don't know, externally that like really grinds your gears, or something like a specific thing that feel like maybe people think but isn't true?
I mean, nothing really bothers me, because I'm only, if someone said like, hey, you, they're doing a terrible job of integrating branded content, or they're choosing all the wrong people to work with, like, yeah, I would bum me out, because that's what I do. That's the piece of the pie that I'm inherently responsible for, right? And then I play a part in all of the other pieces, you know. So there's many people at play around here, but like down the middle, if people were criticizing that, I'd be bummed. I'd want to hear it. But I think what gets lost is that people don't understand it's like a massive company, right? Like in companies, it's a concerted effort of many individuals. So when someone's like, oh, they're doing this and they don't care about that, it's like, heck no. There's thousands of people in this company that care about it, but it just requires, it's a battleship, you know? Like if you want us to take a sharp left-hand turn, like we're not gonna be able to do that. We're gonna have to take a big circle and then come around and point towards it, because there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of players involved to get to that point. So I guess what I would love for people to know is that like there could be something very small that gets brought up and a lot of eyes come onto it. I don't know specifically what I'm thinking about, but like if you're like, hey, XYZ person did something and they don't care about that, we are absolutely talking about it the second it happens, because no one knows or cares more about what happens on Twitch than the employees that work here. And it just takes time for, and it, you know, whatever that is, to be dealt with, because it's not, you know, I can go right to the CRO and be like, this is a problem. And he'll be like, wow, okay. but he can't turn the ship that fast. It requires lots of buy-in underneath and above. So that's the one thing I wish people knew, is that like, we care, we're trying. It's just, there's so many moving parts that we will eventually, there's nothing that falls through the cracks, literally nothing. Like, it's just that how quickly can we deal with whatever it is that comes up is really the nature of an organization, as I'm sure you know. You know, it's just, that's life.
I'm sure there's really interesting or challenging problems in monitoring content and you know, when, both from brand safety and just from a larger content perspective, especially because things are live. How is that handled internally, or what are you guys thinking about from that perspective?
So I don't know what's like public knowledge. So I will give you like more of a political answer there, but like, we're very good at it. Like there was some stuff, you know, that has happened in the digital system that was unfortunate and stuff like that. And again, being vague, like, we dealt with it faster than anybody else on the planet. Like, that's, I think that some of that might be, I don't really know like what's public again and what's not, but like, we're very good at it. We hire the best, we bring in the best of the best that we can get. We're out there constantly in the human resources talent marketplace, trying to find the best people. Like, our HR teams are world-class, our engineers are world-class, our partnerships people are world-class. Like, there isn't, in my opinion, again, bias, so take it with a grain of salt, there isn't anybody doing it as good as we're doing it. We have moderation to a degree that no one else in digital offers, whether that be community moderators all the way down to, you know, the secret cloak and dagger people behind the scenes that are dealing with, you know, cloak and dagger, they're engineers, right? We have law enforcement response teams, you know, that I believe was made public into the zeitgeist a couple months back. Like, we have so many layers of security that I don't think it could really at present be done any better. And if it can be done better, we will figure out how to do it better. We have contractors involved, we have, you know, resources that we get from Amazon in that world that are, you know, given to us to use and rely on. I'm constantly finding about, someone will come to me and be like, hey, this is what I do here, and evaluating brand safety or whatever the heck it is, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, like, I didn't even know we did that, because there's so many different smart folks working on things here that it you need to be the smartest person of all time to understand it all. It's an impossible task, and some of the smartest people on the planet are the people that are absorbing all that information and then telling it to me and helping me understand it. So what I can say to the listener at large is, like, have faith, because we are doing a lot more than I think most people will ever be able to know that we're doing. We obviously can't share everything that we're doing, because knowledge is power and all that kind of stuff. But the things that I learn on a daily basis about what we do and how we do it, one, I don't fully understand, and two, would be very impressive. So just have faith is all I can really say there.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating, and it also just seems like such a monumental task to be on top of all of this content being streamed live and be able to respond to it quickly if something goes up that, you know, that should not be up. And I think for the most part, Twitch has definitely at least stayed out of the bigger spotlight of problems that I know we've seen, like a lot of Facebook, YouTube getting involved in. I haven't heard as much about or really any crazy mainstream events that about Twitch at all. So it definitely seems like you guys must be doing a good job, like you say.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, like, you know, the thing is about our company is, like, people only see or get to talk to people like me and some of the marketing people. Like, these are the people they see. But we're doing just what we do. There's an entire our organization is largely a technology organization. It's largely an engineering organization. Like, that's mostly what we are. So for me to sit here and speak about it would be a massive disservice to the incredible amount of work that we're doing on both from like a creator services perspective. So like developing new tools like a Twitch Studio or tools for rivals or extensions, like that's one world. Then there's obviously like all of the protection of the platform, and which is a constant battle, right? Like, there are smart people out there in the world doing good and smart people out there in the world doing naughty things, right? So they're fighting that fight, and God knows what that's like. You know what I mean? That is a whole other frontier. And then again, data intelligence and view logic and the things that you guys do at Thought Leaders, you know, we probably are maybe doing, I don't even know. You know, it's so much information that is being processed through an organization like this that for someone like me to be able to speak well to it would be, it's just not going to happen. There's better, smarter people that know more about those things.
But the important thing is, it seems like it's working really well. Yeah.
The important thing is that everybody here cares. Like, people work here because they love, we have an expression, it's bleed purple. And it's because like people come here because they want to be here, because they love what this is about, because they see it for what it is and what it's going to be and stuff like that. So,
so if you want to get a job at Twitch, how much do you have to be like really into gaming, let's say? Is everyone there like, you know, a hardcore gamer?
No, definitely not. Like, you have to be passionate about what Twitch is as a service, as a community, not even a service. Like, obviously, please know the basics, like know how creators make money on our platform, know how much a sub costs. But like, the average viewer knows that, you know, like the average viewer knows enough, in my opinion, to be a good employee here. But what sets people apart is just, you know, being passionate about the community. And it doesn't have to be like every community or understanding. You don't have to understand League of Legends at a scientific level and first person shooters and the just chatting section and indie developing in small games or in that. But like the culture of what it is almost irreplaceable, right? And I would say that how deep into those waters you have to be, it obviously really depends. But, you know, you should at least be in the water somewhere. Otherwise, you know, go work somewhere you are deep in those waters. You know, like if you're a really freaking passionate about baseball, go work for Major League Baseball. They need people too. So obviously, like, I think that's like a great prerequisite, but it's not the whole thing.
Something I always thought that showed how Twitch cares, you know, this is more on the creator side, but I think that trickles down to the audience, is from the beginning, Twitch has had, I believe it's the most monetization options for creators and given them a big cut from it. I mean, YouTube also had monetization early, but in only one way. Right. And Twitch went early for subscriptions, for tips. Can you talk about that a bit and the decision to monetize early and often?
Yeah, look, we have an entire team, commerce, they're called commerce, that strictly deals with better ways to feed our economy. Right. I'm a small part of that. My team ad sales is also bringing money into these spaces and trying to do good with it. Right. And do good work with brand partners. So I think If I could speak about something that is a really good thing that I know a lot about, it's what we do over in the ad sales portion of the business, because it's really important, right? Like, we can do stuff like help develop original content. We can do stuff like surfacing really great creators because we have different initiatives that are brand focused that we can kind of create on our own. We can find really unique, passionate, awesome creators and expose them to brands, like strictly by my passion for the platform. That's how some of these people get surfaced, right? Or other people's passion for the platform. They come to me and they're like, you gotta check this person out. Like, you know, a big part of that is like partnerships, going into the community to a level that we can't go to because there's only a smaller amount of us. And then saying like, oh my God, we found this person and they are amazing. Like, they freestyle rap for 6 hours a day and answer all their questions in freestyle rap form. And like, there's no way for me to know about all these people without that mechanism at play. So all of these things, like being unique and being creative, feed our ecosystem and feed, it's a circle, right? Like, the more creative people we have, the more brands want to get involved because they want to be involved with creative people and they want to do cool stuff. You know, the more they spend, the more creative people come to our platform, you know? So even just this one part of the wheel operates so efficiently and so well that it allows folks to just be full-time Twitch creators. I know people that stream to 1,000 people, you know, so it's obviously a lot of people, but in the grand scheme of things, we have people that stream to 100,000 people. So, but they stream to 1,000 people and that's their career. That's all they do, is they go live every day and talk to that community, and they do well enough that's all they do. They own houses, they have cars, and look, they're not, you know, living in the Hollywood Hills or anything like that, but they own houses. They're doing great. I don't own a house, you know? Yeah. So it's like,
well, let's break that down. How does someone who's streaming to 1,000 people actually make enough money to live full time off of this? And like I said, own houses. Where's that money actually coming from? Like,
yeah. So I think you break it down again, commerce would know a lot more, but you break it down into three categories, right? So one, direct platform revenue from ad sales. So we're selling ads on platform as media that will air, you know, either before a commercial or before a stream starts or in the middle of a stream, mid-roll ads and stuff like that. That's a whole other conversation. We have picture-to-picture ads now. We have all types of stuff. You know, I'm not sure what is even live nowadays because there's so many different offerings we have.
Programmatic. And what's the cut the creator gets from the ad sales?
So I don't know how to answer that politically, just because I think it's possibly different for everybody. So I would plead the fifth on that, just because I really don't know universally across the platform what the splits are. I really don't.
Okay.
Nor do I have access to what everybody makes. it might be different for certain people. I know affiliates are at a certain level. So we obviously have, you know, you're streaming on a platform, you get no ads. Then we had monetization for affiliates that we announced, I think about a year ago, start of the pandemic, because we did want to build the bottom, you know, trickle up, if you will. And then we obviously have monetization for partners. And we do demonetize bad actors in certain cases and stuff that was obviously very, very public things that have happened before, but we're doing that to the best interest of everybody on the platform, right? It's not just like a punitive thing. So, but we obviously offer ad sales revenue. Then there's also community support. So gifted subscriptions or subscribing to a channel, there's bits, there's straight donations, stuff like that. And all of that, again, I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head, the cuts and stuff like that, but I think it's all of it. Like if you're a streamer watching, they all know, that's all very public what is the agreement that they're under. And so there's all those different options. Then there's my team, which is the way that my team works, not to detract too far from the question, but the way my team works is like a brand comes in and they buy a certain amount of media on the platform and they say, great, we also want to work with talent. And that's where I come in. And I partner with them and I say, look, like, what are you looking to do? We develop a creative, or we talk to them about their needs and their wants and demographics they want to hit. And we find them the right person. And then we go out and off we go. We contract that person and we pay very well. And we do something awesome, and then we disappear into the night, hopefully to return again another day with more money. So that also exists. That's a whole other leg that is in, you know, our numbers become public every so often, but like ad sales revenue, doing great. And then obviously Amazon advertises direct on our platform. There's a robust third-party ecosystem, so management groups and agencies that will come to you and say, hey, you know, I got a brand partner that just wants to work with you, not through Twitch, just me and you. I sold this ad in, I sold the sponsorship, I sold a profile banner, I sold a tweet. All of that third-party ecosystem, we don't have anything to do with it. It just happens, right? And we want that to happen. We want creators to have this, because if that is robust and strong, more creators can be full-time creators and build, you know, so again, the flywheel at play.
The agencies that are trying to work directly with that Twitch creators or agents or managers that are not necessarily going through you or people on your team, what you're saying is Twitch is supporting this, and Twitch does want, in general, more money to creators is better however they get it.
Yes, please. Everyone come play on our platform. Yes, a service. We're supposed to be called service, yeah. Yes, 100%. Look, we work closely with all of those agencies. The way that, in particular, my team works allows that we don't compete with those groups. We offer a fundamentally different offering, which is media on our platform. No one else can sell media because it's our platform. So we love those groups, the manager groups, the agencies. I know them all on first name basis. Great people. Could not do what we do without them.
Very cool. Yeah. Do you have any idea of what the breakdown of a full-time creator, like this is their job, they only earn money from Twitch, the breakdown of revenue would be between, let's say, fan-supported or audience-supported revenue versus brand and ads? Or is that wildly different across different creators?
Wildly different. Wildly really? Different. Yes.
And what does that mean? So, if would a certain creator who, let's say, is more fan supported, would we see that their content is done in a different way than someone who's more ad supported?
I would suspect yes. I don't know that to be true, but no, I think, for example, if you are a high level competitive like League streamer or Valorant streamer, or, you know, like you're typical esports professional, right? That's, you're probably going to do better on the media side of things, the ad sales side of things, because it's you in the game, you know, like you're competing at such a high level that you're only getting to engage maybe after the round's over, like versus if you're, even Call of Duty streamers, you know, they die a lot because of the nature of the game. And like they have downtime in between where they're waiting to respawn. They're talking to their community. I would suspect that you do much better on the community side of things as well, because you're spending a lot of time talking. You're taking gaming challenges. You're doing different things that grow that community and build that interaction, versus some folks are like, look, like I'm an accountant. You know, I'm doing math here on the screen. I'm playing League, and it's like it requires 105% of my attention. Versus some other games, it's like 50-50. You know, I can sit here and hang out with the community, and that I think that probably garners a different response.
So that's really interesting. That means that basically, when the audience is either giving bits or subscribing to a creator, what they're essentially, let's say, paying for is access, right? And what you're saying is it's about, I want to be engaging, interacting with you, as opposed to, let's say, rewarding for extreme talent, right? It sounds a bit less of like I'm watching LeBron and he's so good, so I'm gonna give him a tip. It's more like, no, this guy's sitting here and talking with me and he's spending his time with me, and that's I want access to them.
Right. And if you want people to be able to do that, if you really are what this person's about, like they have to make a living doing it, right? Like they otherwise they have to go to work, you know? They can't talk to you all day. But it's also that these creators are in ways that I, you know, can't speak to all of them, but like they're creative in the way in their offering and what they're doing with their communities. And like a really great example is like Nick Merckx, one of the biggest creators on our platform. He does this thing called the MFAM Picnic, where his first however many subscribers it was, the people that supported him when he was nobody, like he throws a big event for them and brings them all there, and they all come and they hang out and he knows them all. Like, you know, that's a reason to subscribe to him. That's a reason to stay in that community. That's a reason to engage there, even though, you know, there's a lot of people talking. So it's different for everybody, right? Like there's offerings that different people have that I couldn't give you like this is the rule of the road type thing, because what happens is
something varied. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is something that brands who want to, if brand wants to sponsor a specific creator, I'm talking from like brand going direct to creator right now, this mindset, is that something that they should be looking for? Should a brand say, I want to understand, is this a creator who's more, let's say, audience focused, or a creator is more brand focused, in order to know if it's going to work out for them?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's up to what the brand is trying to get out of it, right? So like we don't really ever do stuff where we do, but it's more rare. We try to use brands to up the content, to plus up the content. Like one of the things we'll say to a brand is like, is this something someone can do without you? And if the answer is yeah, they could do this without me, like let's do something that they can't do without you. That is what the community loves. Because what communities, the fundamental difference about working with a brand on Twitch versus anywhere else is it's not an inconvenience on Twitch. It's like if Chipotle comes in and sponsors something, it's great, because now there's a cash prize that will make streamers compete harder, that will bring other people to the table that normally wouldn't compete, you know, whatever the case may be. If they come in and they do fun community-based challenges, like we can gift subscriptions to the community so that in the future people can watch the content without ads and get the emotes and all the other things that come with a subscription to the channel. They can come in and they can do giveaways. They can come away, they can give away product and codes, and we facilitate mailing stuff out to folks if they win different contests. We have third-party vendors that do these cool giveaways. We have drops for watching the channel, like get a free burrito if you watch a channel, stuff like that. So there's a way to work as a brand on our platform in a way where it's like, oh, I don't want to just skip the ad. You know, it's like I'll see someone doing sponsored content and I'll be like, oh, what are they doing today? Like, great example, is Cash App in here giving away free money? You know, is Chipotle in here giving away free burritos? Can I get a free download of Adobe today? Because like I'm just doing what I normally do and watching a streamer. Can I learn something here? Can like all of those things are enabled by brands in a way that on other, you know, other mediums, I don't know that you can do that. You know, like it's a whole different level to influencer marketing because it's live. Because like you're interacting with the brand live, you're interacting with the streamer live. And a lot of the stuff that we'll do, there's like games that are community-based games that are built by brands that we help them enable that you couldn't play, that have prizes that you couldn't do without a brand. We wouldn't necessarily build that without a brand, you know, without their idea, without them coming into the picture. So all of that doesn't, it's just, in my opinion, like it's a whole other level to what we can do that no one else can do. And it's so much fun. Like my job is so much fun because of these things, you know, it's unique.
So once the content's not live anymore, how much does Twitch still care about it or try to do things to get the creators to use that content in a VOD way or in other clips?
So obviously we love clips. Like clips, there's a whole ecosystem around clips alone, right? You know, something that we were first to market with that was just, I think we were first to market with it. We were at least first to the popular market with it. That I think like is just an awesome thing, right? Like there's entire subreddits that exist around just clipped content and in the conversation that happens there. And that's great. Reddit's another way for like the community to engage offline. It's fantastic. YouTube, obviously people that VOD their content onto YouTube like crazy, and a great place for it to exist, because it's a way for Twitch creators to expose themselves to an entirely other community, right? Like live isn't for everybody. You know, if you're driving around, you know, you can listen to a YouTube video, please don't watch, but you can listen to a YouTube video and you could listen to a Twitch stream, but it's not really the same thing, right? Like you can't necessarily pick what you're listening to. There's songs on YouTube versus like, there's not gonna be like a ton of live songs you can listen to on Twitch that will come across the same way. So there's just fundamentally different offerings. And while I personally will watch VODs that I missed, especially like tournament play, like I find myself often going back and watching like different Call of Duty tournaments. I love Call of Duty, for example. Like I'll watch different Call of Duty tournaments because if I miss the tournament, I kind of miss part of the narrative of like what Twitch is and like what's happening in the community. So I will watch the VODs, but it's just, you're not going to get the engagement there because there's not live chatters in a VOD, obviously. You can't interact with the streamer. It's just fundamentally different. So do we care about it? Absolutely. There's a ton of metadata around it, and there's a ton of things that we learn from VODed content. There's obviously residual income that can be made by a creator because ads still do run on VODed content. And then there's obviously people will watch and they'll see the sponsored content if it was there. So it's an important part of what we do, but it's not everything we do.
But I believe Twitch is actually is giving a tool for creators to export their live streams when they're finished pretty easily to YouTube, right? So you're you don't mind at all if the same content exists on YouTube that exists on Twitch.
As far as I understand, the position of the company is like, well, yeah, great, do it. Like distribution of this, the content that is made live on Twitch is a big part of, in my opinion, the what we do, the old, like I keep saying, the flywheel, right? Like people will, you know, they'll stream on Twitch and then they'll cut it down and they'll upload it to TikTok and Snapchat and all these other places, Instagram, like, you know, like we even see esports organizations putting Twitch feeds up on their Instagram and like highlights and stuff like that. But I think the fundamental thing is like it happens live on Twitch. There is no substitute for that. There is no other place to go if you want to see it live, you know, and that's what we do best. Is the community live happening right there?
I'm curious because if you're selling to a brand a live stream, right, and you're pitching the brand on the engagement they're going to get from it, I assume that the focus is on the engagement they're going to get from the live stream. But actually, the brand is getting the spillover residual engagement both from VOD on Twitch itself, and then from all those platforms that are the same exact video is being, I guess, exported to. Is that something that you're using in, let's say, sales to a brand? Like, look, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get this, 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 and this.
So when we're talking to brand, all we're talking about is what's happening on Twitch. And we obviously will sell different other deliverables, you know, videos and tweets and stuff like that. Like, it's just influencer marketing. You know, we're influencer marketers at our core, but we work for a service, right? But like, do brands know that their content lives other places eventually, or that like there's a chance that they go viral, or that like if they make really great content that people aren't going to talk about it on Reddit or Twitter or wherever else? I think they know that, and if our sellers are having that conversation in the room before I get in there, yeah, maybe, probably. But like if a brand comes to us and they're like, hey, like what are the numbers look like if this goes onto Reddit or something? We just don't have that information. Or if we do, I don't know if we're talking about it. It's just an added bonus, if you will. And at the end of the day, like,
yeah, I mean,
what
it,
we're
it
really
sounds like a pretty big, it could potentially be a pretty big bonus to a brand.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we've made brands have memed themselves before, if you will. Like it's happened, you know. And then esports organizations will partner with brands because of, in my opinion, of them coming to us and working with us, and them seeing the brand and the organization seeing an opportunity to partner together to kind of further the relationship on the service and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like what we're selling to brands is media and the experience with the community here. And then because yes, we do use influencers, but like there's other things we do. Like a brand can come in and buy some media and then sponsor rivals or sponsor original content like Hivemind or shows that we make. It's not always going to be, oh yeah, influencer, you know what I mean? Like it's not always going to be that. There's so many other things that they can do with their dollar that we're offering. And sometimes it's the brand coming up with the idea. They'll be like, we want to do this, and we're like, oh, pretty good, pretty cool, you know, and off we go.
Very cool. Well, James, thank you very, very much for your time. That has been really fascinating for me to dive into this with you and to learn about a world that I did not know as much about, and the sophistication behind what you're doing, behind what Twitch is doing, both from the creator level, on the audience level, and on the brand level is really impressive to learn about.
Yeah, and look, thanks for having me. Like I said, like the one thing everybody should know is like, company cares, like they really do. We're just trying to do cool stuff for the people on our site. And at the end of the day, you know, look, if there's something that you want to see on Twitch and like it's not there for you, like try to find us, try to do it yourself, please, first, because that will make you make a career for yourself. Like, you know, come here and start your podcast, come here and do, like, I keep bringing up leather work because we have a gal that we found and she's making purses and stuff on Twitch. And like, we're like, wow, she's got 1,000, 2,000 people watching her, whatever it is. And so it's just one of those things where you see it and you're like encouraged by it.
Something that you really want to see that isn't being like streamed prominently today. And you're like, come on, bring it on here.
Well, I would say, if you asked me that 2 years ago, the answer was like investing. Like I used to day trade and invest in stuff, and I like it. I love it. But now it's found its footing. It's found its home. I love sports too. So I would love if we could find a way to make sports work. But like, obviously we all understand the rights of sports and how they get broadcast. Like, it's not simple. It's not something I'm going to figure out for sure. So that requires many, 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 many powerful people getting together and figuring out how it all works. And it's possible that it never gets figured out, but like, I would love for that to be a thing. It's just a matter of, I think, probably time, you know? So look, those are the things that I love, but at the end of the day, there's like all types of other stuff. Like cooking, it does well on our platform. People cook, you know, chefs come cook on our service. If you're a really talented chef, just come do what you do, but do it live. Like that's how I sell it. Like, if you're a creative person and you're doing it alone, why? Just come do what you do here. If you're an accountant, come be an accountant live on Twitch. Help people understand math better. You know, if you're a teacher, come teach on Twitch. Whatever it is, you can do it here, and it's a way to just make a little bit of money at the end of the day if it works out well for you. So, and just meet cool people.
Well, thanks again, James. This has been awesome.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure talking to you, David. I had a great time.
Thank you for listening to the Thought Leaders Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about what's trending in the online sphere, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn and sign up for our weekly newsletter at thoughtleaders.io. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts to stay tuned for the next episode. This podcast was hosted by David Tintner, edited by and produced by me, Noam Yadin.